Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I am your host, Linda, coming at you from Oceanside, California. It is almost like summer, sunny, clear, gorgeous, ocean breeze, about 76 degrees, beautiful. I noticed in the chat room there we're talking about Rubio and amnesty. It's pretty nuts. There's so much going on, I don't even know where to start. Although I just want to give a shout out. Thanks, Rod and Bill, for joining me. Hopefully others will join soon. We are brought to us by www.patriotfamilies.com. That's Patriot Families of the YS, a great site. You guys got to, we'll have to do what Bill was saying. Hopefully he'll call in later and tell me how he's planning on doing these things. We want to promote this site and get people energized. I was watching, there's so much, again, I'll get to all this, but it's probably going to take my whole show, but it will be very wonderful. When you talk about getting energized, et cetera, and keeping the pressure on, we had Bill and I had a Facebook confab earlier today on this, and everyone was saying it on Glenn's show as well. Matt Kibbe from FreedomWorks, we need to keep the pressure on these people, all the way from the Monsanto people, the IRS scandals, all the scandals, Benghazi, the AP, the NSA, the DHS, the EPA, all of this has to be. We have to keep pounding and pounding and pounding and not let up, because if we don't show courage and stand up to these people, they're going to steamroll over us, and we deserve it for not standing up and showing courage to do this stuff. So we're going to get into I wanted to do stuff I promised Bill earlier that we'd do a little bit on faith, and we got faith and courage up the wazoo because I got some stuff from Scripture, which was one I did a couple weeks ago. From St. Matthew, and that was chapter 8. Anyway, we'll go there. And what I'm reading, I'm almost done now. I got about 20 pages left of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's story, and so I'm at the point where they've already hanged him. It's very sad. It was 1945 in April, and he was only about 39 years old. Anyway, he was born in 1906. So it just strength, faith, and courage on this man is just beyond words. You guys got to read this book. Anyway, when I do my normal bumper music to start the show, I usually don't pay much attention to Krispy Kreme Christie or anything that Zero's doing. Well, apparently there was some some goings on in Jersey Shore, as they say, where Krispy was down on the, I guess they were on the boardwalk, I don't know, it looked like they were holding hands. They had a blast on Glenn's show today. I would have given anything for a piece of that music from the old song Under the Boardwalk, because I mean, apparently he had done something with one of these little games and he won a bear for the president. It was hysterical. Believe me, when they tweeted as Pat, Stu and Glenn were completely out of control laughing today on the show, on the opening monologue, somebody tweeted Brokeback Boardwalk. It was hysterical. So I had to get that in. Anyway, That's what I woke up to. That was kind of funny. And before I forget, we were in the chat room talking about what Trey Gowdy did. Well, this was on Hannity's show, his radio show today, which was between 12 noon and 3, which I don't catch the rest of it because I'm watching Glenn's show. And they had some really cool people on there, too. One of the guys was actually on Greta's show last night. These were IRS people who'd been targeted, and there was like three different people from three different groups. Matt Kibbe was there. Apparently, Jay Sekulow is suing the IRS on behalf of 25 different Tea Parties on these on this IRS scandal where they were targeting these people. So it's pretty crazy. Anyway, so what Trey was saying, because he was talking to Hannity, and Hannity was asking him these questions, and they were talking about the absurdity of Eric Holder and the lies he's told, and you know, the blatant disregard for the rule of law, the cover-ups, the constant won't answer questions, people saying that these people should investigate themselves, and the corruption and the depth of the corruption that's going on. And so there was a kind of quick note here I wanted to put in. that Hannity says to Trey Gowdy, he says, have you ever seen this level of corruption and deception and all the rest of it? And Trey says, yeah, ancient Rome. And Hannity cracked up and he says, well, I kind of meant recent history and American history. But that was pretty cool. Trey had my attention that time. It was pretty cool. Anyway, so also I went on the news today as we keep going. Tomorrow, you know that NSA building in Utah that's going to do data mining on everybody? I think I have Mr. Robert on the line. I'll get him in a second also. Hang on, Robert, just a second. Anyway, NSA building in Utah, that giant thing, they're doing a giant ribbon cutting tomorrow in Utah. This is the data collection, and I'm going to go through. There's a – it's called Obama's that's what I call him. Database, and you're going to just love this. I'm going to read it later because I want to get through some of this stuff. I want to go through Bonhoeffer. I want to get some scripture in here. But the stuff that we've got to worry about, and believe me, when you hear when you go back to Obama being a state senator in Illinois and then a U.S. senator and then being groomed for the presidency all that time, you're going to love this story because you're not going to believe what you hear. These people are evil. Thank you so much, Robert, for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging here trying to absorb all this stuff.
Oh, believe me, I know. I got a mouthful for you today, but I want to go through some of this. And also we're still gathering people to come to Delaney. I didn't know if you're going to make it, but I know Ron's going to be there, and I know Miss Terry's going to be there, and we're just got quite a few folks. So I know Nick and Yo, which is going to be really cool. I haven't seen Terry since 2010, so we would, and Rod, I'd love to have him there because it would just, all you guys, everybody. Mr. Magic, I know he can't make it, but.
Who? Michael can't?
Michael Magic from Michigan can't because either his wife can't get time off or something. I don't know what it was.
Hopefully I'll make it. I'll give it my best shot.
I do need
a vacation. I tell you, man, the vacation is so long.
Okay. Is that what they call it, Bill? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was another part of. I was just picking up the headlines and stuff that Glenn was talking about today and other people were talking about today, and then I just wanted to go through. I wanted to read this one on the faith. I've done this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was pretty cool. This was from St. Matthew, and it was chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. And it says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come to under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." So this is a testament to faith. And this is, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm not not sure what he's talking about, me looking upon a pretty face in the chat room. But anyway, of course, if Rod would ever call in, even for 2 minutes, then I could get my questions answered. Another man of courage and faith is Dietrich, and this I'm at the end of this book, but this is when he was in Tegel prison, and in 1944, because they killed him in 1945, almost 3 weeks to the day before Hitler. Now I get it. Thanks, Rod. He cleared up the mystery for me. Anyway, so it was exactly 3 weeks before Hitler offed himself, and they couldn't really prove it, but everybody figured out and could figure out that because all these people were talking and the ones that got tortured when they were doing the Valkyrie plot and all the previous plots trying to kill him, and that he found out that Dietrich and the others were involved, so he ordered them hanged. And all this happened so quickly right after the Allies and the Americans were starting to sweep through and liberate the whole place. And so, you know, Idiot and I guess it was Eva Braun was in the bunker. So this was prior to him being moved in this god-awful transport to where they finally got rid of him. And it was just, it wasn't in Buchenwald. It was after Buchenwald because they were moving people around because they knew that the Americans were coming. So anyway, it says, this is prior to all that mess. It says, Bonhoeffer was saying that apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot know what is right or do right. We must look to him in every situation. Only in him can fathomless evil of the world be dealt a death blow. To those for whom Bonhoeffer's few words on religionless Christianity were the sin qua non of all he ever said, this uncompromising Christocentrism would be strong meat, as are his pronouncements in ethics on a number of other issues, such as abortion. This is Dietrich on abortion. You're going to love this, you guys. Destruction of the embryo in the mother's womb is a violation of the right to live, which God has bestowed upon this nascent life. To raise the question whether we are here concerned already with a human being or not is merely to confuse the issue. The simple fact is that God certainly intended to create a human being, and that is this nascent human being has been deliberately deprived of his life. And that is nothing but murder. So that was his thoughts on that, and I know that a lot of people absolutely agree with him. The other thing that Dietrich wrote was there was some giant poem he did prior to his death, and it's called Stations on the Road to Freedom, and he talks in each paragraph about different things, and one is discipline, one is action, one is suffering, and one is death. And I just want to go, they're pretty small, so I want to, hey, Papa Bear, welcome to the show. I've got everybody in the chat room, so we need to get promote this show a little better. I did as much as I could today, so I emailed, I blogged, I did everything, so, and I posted on Facebook a couple times. So anyway, it says, in discipline, if you set out to seek freedom, then learn above all things to govern your soul and your senses, for fear that your passions and longing may lead you away from the path you should follow. Chaste be your mind and your body, and both in subjection, obediently, steadfastly seeking the aim set before them, and only through discipline may a man learn to be free. Action, daring to do what is right, not what fancy may tell you. Valiantly grasping occasions, not cravenly doubting. Freedom comes only through deeds, not through thoughts taking wing. Faint not nor fear, but go out to the storm and the action, trusting in God, whose commandment you faithfully follow. Freedom exultant will welcome your spirit with joy. On suffering, he wrote, a change has come indeed. Your hands go strong and active, are bound in helplessness. Now you see your action is ended. You sigh in relief, your cause committing to stronger hands. So now you may rest contented. Only for one blissful moment could you draw near to touch freedom. Then that it might be perfected in glory, you gave it to God. When he writes upon about death, he says, come now, thou greatest of feasts on the journey to freedom eternal. Death, cast aside all the burdensome chains and demolish the walls of our temporal body, the walls of our souls that are blinded, so that at last we may see that which here remains hidden. Freedom, how long we have sought thee in discipline, action, and suffering. Dying, we now may behold thee revealed in the Lord. Pretty cool. All right. So that's that one. And I wanted to go, that's faith and courage. This guy is just, he's just amazing. Some of the stuff, you guys got to read this one. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, the things that he wrote in prison probably were some of the most profound in his entire life. And I believe me, this book is like 600 pages long, and it's just amazing, you guys. So I'll read as much as I can from it and share everything I read. My next book is going to be Jekyll Island, and I'm going to be reading from that too on my subsequent shows here. This is about the Farm Bill, and this is only one page long, so kind of bear with me. I've still got 45 minutes. We've got plenty of time to talk and call in. So it says, this was by Drew White on one of the news organizations on the internet. It said, it's May 13th, 2013. So it says, markup week for the $1 trillion food stamp and farm bill has finally arrived, and with it, the ominous prospect of self-styled conservatives and Republicans rubber stamping President Obama's big government agenda. Both the House and Senate Agriculture Committees released the draft text of their respective bills last week, and the contempt for the American taxpayer could not be more evident. The bills look remarkably similar to last year's legislation, chock full of special interest handouts, market-distorting subsidies, taxpayer-funded shallow loss crop insurance, what the hell is that, and of course hundreds of billions of dollars in food stamps. This is what's going on behind the scenes while we're watching the other hand. Whether it's the consumer-crushing sugar program, can you believe this, or a dairy program with a Soviet-style flair, the Farm Bill is an American taxpayer's worst nightmare. The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Representative Frank Lucas from Oklahoma, he's a Republican, is already putting on his best don't look behind the curtain routine when it comes to the enormity of this proposed bill. He would have us believe that the Agriculture Committee really scraped the bottom of the barrel to save money this go around. Oh, God. It says, instead of the $35 billion in savings, quote, from last year's proposed bill, Rep. Lucas was able to stretch things out to find $38 billion for this year's markup. I was compelled to match his President Obama's number. I'm saving $38 billion from the Farm Bill process, he said. Indeed, the problem, of course, is that this bill doesn't save much of anything, considering the cost is some 60% higher than the original estimate for the 2008 Farm Bill. Why do we have farm bills? This is horrible. And there's also that slight little hiccup courtesy of the CBO showing the $35 billion in, quote, savings from last year's proposed bill was actually more like $26 billion. Oh, boy. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving along. As Heritage's Diane Katz repeatedly pointed out last year, finding savings and making reforms in America's agriculture policy would be low-hanging fruit for lawmakers. The farm subsidies being financed by taxpayers are Depression-era relics that can no longer be justified. So why do we keep... Because we keep paying our taxes. This is especially true considering net farm income has hit record highs for the past couple of years. Furthermore, this was in spite of the severe drought that swept across the heartland last year, a drought largely recognized as one of the worst ones in a century. And I think we had talked a little bit about that yesterday on Patriot Family Chat Show. As the Senate prepares to mark up its bill tomorrow and the House moves to do so on Wednesday, it is imperative that Americans use this legislation as a litmus test for their representatives. Yeah. Are members of Congress serious about cutting spending and changing business as usual in Washington? My guess is that they're not. And this guy says, we'll find out soon. Yeah, right. We've seen this movie before, and it doesn't end well for either our freedom or our wallets, which is why we must remain ever vigilant. And I had mentioned that before. We must remain vigilant on all of those issues that we talked about earlier, and we're going to continue on today because we have two more pieces, and then I'm going to be taking calls and talking to whomever wants to call in. This is about Obamacare, and there's a doctor already in the works who's doing this. I guess his name is Dr. Ciampi, and I don't know who wrote it, but I pulled it off the thing today and just printed it because there was so much in the news. And it says, I'm not sure how long this would be allowed since Obamacare will require everyone to have insurance. It's going to fall on its face. And there would be less incentive to go to someone like this who no longer wants to work for the government or insurance companies. Michael Ciampi, I guess it is a family doctor in South Portland, Maine, who left Mercy Health System in 2003 to operate his own private practice. He didn't like the hospital setting because you have a lot of administrators that control what you do. Oh, yes, they do. He doesn't like the idea of hospital consolidation because, like with anything else, competition is a good thing. What he wanted was more autonomy and more flexibility. In short, he wanted freedom. Last month, he officially stopped taking payments from Medicare, Medicaid, and all other third-party commercial insurance companies. This is what the man said. As a private practice, with what's coming with the present, Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, the regulations that are coming out of several pages a week, and there's no way that small private practices are going to be able to comply with all of these regulations. So what we are doing now, we're not taking insurance. We are asking people to pay at the time of service, just like you would pay your lawyer or your plumber. So now I work for patients. I don't work for the government, and I don't work for insurance companies, end quote. He said then that if more doctors did this, we would see the price of healthcare go down. Hello? Yeah, free market. He's right. And the quality would go up because doctors would be buying for customers and providing a product or service. Yes, the government's so involved with the healthcare industry that the competition is being slowly outlawed. The government doesn't want there to be any competition because they want to control everything. And I would say everyone. Critics are saying that this doctor is, the critics, only for elite rich people. But that's not entirely true. Before his decision to opt out of all government and commercial insurance payers, he had about 2,000 patients. Since the shift in April, he has lost a few hundred. But because he doesn't have to deal with insurance companies at all anymore, he has been able to cut his prices in half. He's even got his prices listed for certain routine services on his website. His changes will obviously, in fact, I looked the one up and I think it was $50 for a doctor visit, just to walk in, and you know, which is pretty cool. It's a lot cheaper than what I pay. His changes will obviously turn away those who already pay a pretty penny for their health insurance plans. But for those who are self-employed or for whatever reason don't have health insurance, paying only $50 cash for a simple office visit for one straightforward health issue sounds pretty good. He might even end up doing better financially than he did when he had to deal with the insurance companies. If more doctors did this, there would be competition, prices would go down, and there would be less incentive for people to have to pay for costly health insurance at all, except for catastrophic care. Or when you're old, you can get your hospitalization if you have major stuff done. And they don't take it out, because that's what I just got. I'm just on the hospitalization. I'm not paying for the other one because they'll steal it right out of my paycheck. So they can – I'll find this guy. I'll find more like this guy. Obamacare will effectively eliminate competition and force everybody into the government's healthcare system, which is what they wanted to do all along, where the costs will continue to increase and the quality will continue to deteriorate. More doctors should do what Dr. Ciampi has done. And I say absolutely – absolutely. Okay. The taxes. The bills. What about the beer tax that was helped I don't know, but I'm just glad God invented beer. That somebody, I think it was Ben Franklin, says beer is proof that God loves mankind or something. God loves us. Anyway, and I'm drinking wine, that too. I love the grapes. So, okay, I have one more and then I'm definitely going to take calls. Okay, so he says, Rod says, but Obama is already trying to fool the states into taking away from the feds. Oh, yeah, he's such a schmendrick. Anyway, this is talking about this database. Yeah, I got better ones, but I'm trying to be polite and trying not to cuss too much. Okay, so this is talking about how kind of the history of a little bit of what Maxine Waters just said and what Obama has been doing for a long time. So it says, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. This is from Reagan, of course. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free, or relatively free, with the big five scandals surfacing fast and furious, Benghazi, AP, IRS, Fox News, and the gentleman that was targeted, and I can't remember his name right now, Americans are suffering from shell shock. Yet Obama and Holder smugly deny any personal involvement. Yeah. Logic tells us there is a bigger cover-up behind the cover-ups. The Obama administration, a group of like-minded people, have formed an army against Americans and America, gathering and storing information against those they consider their enemies. Okay, I got Bill on the line. I'm going to bring him in. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing just fine here, Linda.
Good.
You're hitting on so much stuff. I mean, there's so much. You know, we should. Several people a few years back warned you that when you start getting after them, they'll have to speed things up. They have an agenda. They have a timeline in mind.
Yep.
And the only problem, they never foresaw the public standing up against them. They never saw that coming.
They didn't see the Tea Party or the 9/12ers, no.
That's true. And come sometime in the future, somebody will look back and they'll say, they'll pinpoint that moment. That moment
yes.
as what saved our, if the country gets saved, that'll be the moment that began the saving of the country.
I know. Let me finish this little thing and then we'll just continue on because this is, I'm not kidding you guys. When I read this, I thought I got to read this one out loud. It says, there are devious masters of manipulation and corruption, which is confirmed by going back into the 90s when Mivka, Derrick Bell, Charles Ogletree, Soros, Axelrod, and others started to groom and, listen to this, mentor Obama for his race to the presidency. Obama didn't exactly have a mousetrap in mind, or mousetrap mind, but he mastered the teleprompter and became one of the best orators of our time. I think he's just a huge puppet and he's evil. Obama certainly wasn't the mastermind behind this scheme. He was carefully prepped for the presidential run, which, like the Triple Crown, was a three-legged race. First leg was the race in Illinois for Senate, U.S. Senate, and the final leg of the race for presidential position. History shows that he won these races strictly through the force of Chicago-style politics by merely invalidating his competition and preying on the poor. Obama won his first term because he had mastered Alinsky-style community organizing, portraying himself as a moral savior for the poor. Actually, he is a power monger who understood that the secret to power was image. He is charismatic, so was Hitler, humorous at times, I don't find him humorous at all, soft-spoken, yeah, well, most gays are, and always in control, utilizing the pool of information created by his puppeteers. Now, this is where it gets good. Maxine Waters, and I can't stand this woman. Boy, she let it slip, had the missing key when she loudly and proudly proclaimed that the Obama administration has in place a secret database with everything on everyone. Logically, the creation of this database started back in the 1990s when Obama was being prepped for his triple race, Illinois Senate, U.S. Senate, and then President of the United States. Obama's database brokers or data gophers have a very powerful and dangerous weapon in their hands. Unless this database is seized, frozen, and investigated, Obama may slip through the cracks unscathed. Obama's database is potentially very dangerous and consists of many different databases under one umbrella. Sound like that NSA building that's going to get it all? No doubt there are hackers. Democrats and disgruntled citizens have knowledge of this database, but they fear for their lives, imprisonment, or possible harm to their families. This is what's going on, and Glenn was talking about this earlier. Break that database open, and Americans will find out how the five scandals occurred and the reasoning behind the scandals. You see, this is all. You see how you connect the dots here to put the pieces of the puzzle together? Go ahead.
There's an end to this result. I mean, put out a reward to Anonymous.
Yep.
To crack everything about it.
Yeah, I agree. And then get it on the front page.
To me, they've already showed this government that they're nobody for the government to mess with.
Oh, I know. Anyway, it says... turn up your volume, Robert. I can barely hear you.
I said it must be nice to get paid $177,000 a year and still stay home and still get paid, you know.
You're talking about the underling. Yeah, he gets the president gets over $400,000, and
I was talking about Lerner, the girl from the IRS.
Well, look at these jobs, the supposed sequester. There's all this, but yet they're offering all these jobs. And look at, yeah, look at the money involved with those jobs that they're offering.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
If there shouldn't even be no offering of jobs if you're following the sequester rules. You're picking and choosing who loses.
I know.
It's terrible.
I'm going to finish this one page and then we'll go on. It says, retrace the past few years since, this is 2009, Obamacare requests information from the public that will become records under this Presidential Records Act. Oh, my God. The attack on Tea Parties, religious groups, and conservatives by the IRS will have tracks right back to Obama's database, including Operation Vigilant Eagle. Obama has turned on those who fight for our freedoms, including the military. Obama's Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan, is creating a database. This is for Common Core, and personally identifiable information on your child and grandchild. The stimulus bill just happens to have a state requirement that forces each state to create a database on all public school students. This is Common Core, written in the stimulus bill, allowing the government to track our children without parental permission. Back in 2009, Obama cut us off at the press one more time by eliminating inspector generals 4.5 years after have elapsed without Senate confirmed inspectors general. They are America's watchdogs. This is what this guy's up to. Six of our larger federal agencies responsible for billions of dollars in taxpayer money have IG vacancies. Oh, my God. The IG vacancies include the State Department, Department of Labor, Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Interior, and Agency for International Development. All this stuff. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they can take all those departments and you know what
and
with them.
Conservatives need not apply.
Yeah, it just may be that the data gophers and Obama puppeteers did more than stub their toe this time. They may have been overzealous and fallen into the pit of no return. Only time will tell. Eric Holder should be the next in line to receive a pink slip. I think he should go to jail. As each day passes.
That's it. It's not just him. It's been all of his czars.
This
has been the biggest scam on the American society that has ever been perpetrated. It's a global scam.
Bill, my interpretation? My interpretation reminds me of, you know, Radar O'Reilly signing requisitions for the colonel. I mean, he just probably signed a piece of paper, didn't even realize he signed it, and didn't know about it. That could possibly happen. But, you know, I don't get it. I think our next attorney general is going to be John Edwards.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I don't see it being any better than the one we got while Obama's the one doing the choosing.
Yeah, when he does the choosing, it's going to be some creep. It's going to be
creepy. Bill Ayers.
Yeah, and the last sentence says, as each day passes, Obama's data gophers are creating more databases and Americans are no longer safe. And America isn't the land of the free. Is freedom close to extinction? Yeah, probably. I get so tired of it because, you know, this is what we're up against every day. And then I heard also today that Michelle Bachmann is not rerunning in 2014 or whenever she's back up. Because they're every 2 years, aren't they? I think it is. I have no idea
with her.
I forget, but I just heard.
I have to wonder at the timing and why.
I don't know. You know, she's probably had enough, just like Jim DeMint had enough, you know, and Rand Paul had enough. I mean, Ron Paul, Dr. Paul. So, it's not fun.
Let's be honest. We have an administration that's very big on intimidation and stuff like that.
Oh, fear mongering, sure.
We don't know why until she comes out and really tells us, and then we'll probably find out in 10 years in a book.
I know, or 5 years, hopefully less than that. But it wouldn't surprise me because I think Glenn hinted about it today, and he has before that, and I think she may have told him in confidence things that she, you know, that they have done to her, especially the establishment, and they vilify these people. You know, they probably threaten them. You know how it goes. I'm sure everybody.
Well, yeah,
threatened at this point. And this is the whole
ever,
point.
Have you ever looked at the death trails behind the Clintons or Obama?
Oh my God, it's huge. It's huge, and that's why I enjoyed Trey Gowdy's saying when he said Rome, because it's kind of true. Yeah, you know, Brutus and Cassius and all the deception. Oh my God. Talk and the decline. How about the moral decay? Yikes. Oh my gosh.
Well,
yeah.
That's, you look at any society that got to that kind of moral decay and it fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's
and
the thing.
Yeah, they try to repeat it.
This is what one of the messages today with these people that came forward, not only on Greta's show last night, but on the Blaze TV with Matt Kibbe and a couple others and Glenn Beck on his show, and Matt Kibbe from FreedomWorks kept saying, this is the time to jump on board and stay on it and not be afraid because there's strength in numbers. They can't get them all. You know what I'm saying? If you get enough people.
We have a political system, Linda, that is set up to play us against each other in many different varieties of ways, socially, class, race, but they keep us fighting each other because they're afraid that the American public, if woken up, would realize that they've been played by both parties and the kickback that would come at them, well, it would be the end of both the establishment of the parties and all of their ilk that run them.
Oh, I know. See, that's the thing. And this is why, whether it's this IRS scandal or the Benghazi scandal, everything that's going on with this NSA thing, the DHS, the TSA, the EPA, and especially Monsanto, all these things, and we know that it's Agenda 21, but because these agencies, these alphabet soup agencies, are all separate or appear to be separate, which I don't believe they are, and you and I know that these are all connected in the big puzzle of Agenda 21 and this United Nations. This is another evil entity that's got to go. And I say, and the Fed as well. Everything I blogged today said, abolish the IRS, repeal the 16th, 17th Amendments. I just went on and on. And the things that are going on in our country and going against Monsanto, GMOs, et cetera, and taking back our freedoms is paramount. And we've got to keep this. We got to build a bigger steamroller or they're going to come after us. They're going to flatten us if we let them.
You know what? Something my father always told my kids was, I raised my son to make his own way, to be lead his own path, not to be a follower.
Right.
And what we have today is a society that's trying to make everybody be followers, and they don't want any leaders.
That's true. And there's no leadership coming out of Washington. You know that. They're a bunch of oligarch hacks. I mean, except there's like Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul, and I don't know how many others. There's a few in the House still that are decent. Louis Gohmert, Michelle's not there, not going to be there anymore. We've got Paul Brown from Georgia and Justin Amash from Michigan. There's a few others that are decent.
In the amnesty battle, kudos to Jeff Sessions.
Cool.
Jeff Sessions has been the one of the toughest fighters against this amnesty since 2006.
Good.
And I want to give him a thanks for his efforts on that issue, and that's a dangerous issue.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all dangerous issues.
Oh, I know.
Because they're all part of the same thing. They are all a facet, a wheel, if you would, of Agenda 21, of a global government. And
this
NWO,
is the global, yes.
Call it whatever the hell you want to call it. It's about the elites thinking that they should control the rest of us. And while we look at the ones who shaped Obama, there were players like Maurice Strong and a few Rothschilds and some others out there around the world playing the globe.
Absolutely. I mean, I was reading another one today or yesterday on, could have been this morning, on the word, whether it was Facebook or one of my internet emails, on Fabian socialism, and they actually went pretty well into the history of it and talked about some of the people involved and some of the people, of course, of modern times that are still alive and that are hanging out in our government. It's evil. It's the progressive, it's that 20th century Fabian socialist nonsense, and George Bernard Shaw was part of it, and Margaret Sanger, and of course
it's the
Clinton.
Progressive. It is the progressive. But the progressive is of both parties.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what, I don't mean to be offensive, people. I'm a Libra, and I'm a logical guy, and things have to balance out in my head or they don't compute. And I cannot understand how you follow a party for no other reason than it's your party.
I'm a Libra, too.
If that party is not standing for the rights of the Constitution and other things, if that party is right in bed and leading you into destruction, why in the heck do you... I just don't understand it.
Well, you know what? When you go back to right after the Civil War and the slaves were freed, and the Republican Party was actually a pretty decent party, and they tried to help those poor people, and 9/10 of those blacks voted Republican because they knew which side their the bread was buttered on, etc. And the Democrats were extremely against them, and certain factions formed the KKK, etc. So the poor black people, they knew who was against them and who was for them. I think after that happened, Bill, when you started seeing the turn of the century, and you know that the communists and progressives, or whatever you want to call them, usurped the Democrat Party, like even before then, and just went bonkers.
Yeah.
And then I think it slowly creeped, the communism and progressivism creeped over to the Republican Party around probably in the 50s or 60s, somewhere in that. You know what I'm saying? I think it's that was the shift. And now it's an oligarchy, a one-party system. I do not believe that there's two. There might be a handful of decent ones, but those are the ones who have not lost their soul yet. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I do. It's like the free stuff.
Right.
No one looked at, well, their government's going to give you this. But no one looked at how much are they going to charge you somewhere else to pay for it.
Well, because
and
that...
If they take a freedom, if they take a liberty...
Right.
Is it worth that free stuff?
Oh, no. No. Never. Not 1 cent. Not one scintilla. The problem is, Bill, you've got people conditioned for 80 years that this is okay, that they don't understand. These people, honest to God, Bill, if you could question them like with a like an exam or a like a final exam and say, where do you think this money comes from? They don't understand that it has to be stolen from someone who produces it. They don't get that's how dumb they are.
They're in your right. That's a problem. But that's because they don't address the problem in the right way. The right way to address the problem, if somebody needs help in some way,
right,
and you help them, but let them earn it. Let them have some dignity along with it. Don't just hand it to them. If they're able to do any kind of work, put them out there cleaning up the parks.
Right. No,
Linda,
but we gave them enough money. We already gave them enough money, Bill. We gave them enough.
I don't want to just give it to them, Robert. I want to give them a way to earn it, not just hand it to them.
I understand, but we gave this government enough money to fix the problems, and they used it for something else.
No, that's true.
You cannot give a government like we have, no matter which party it is, control. You look where it's going.
Robert, you've got to understand.
Get $17 trillion in debt.
They'll tell you
it's okay that they're going to give them out this amnesty, call it whatever they will, and that's going to add another $6.7 trillion to your debt. Well, here's the problem with that. You're facing it on 11 million people. By the time they get done, the amnesty thing they're pushing alone, in 15 to 20 years, not no 10 years, you know how they like to manipulate things. You look at 15, 20 years down the road, and this amnesty will take your $17 trillion of debt right now and more than double it.
Here's the thing, Robert.
It's going to be $20 billion before it's over.
Here's the thing, Robert. That's just one facet of what they are doing. You add in everything else, and it is a destructive path. I don't care what party they're in.
Right.
Don't know they are a liar if they said they reduced the debt and that debt clock doesn't stop and spin the other direction.
It's never going to happen.
You know what I pray for every night?
You said you were a Libra. I was born in October too, Bill. But I pray. I've been praying every night before I go to bed that the IRS gets abolished, healthcare goes under, and everybody is out of there by October.
Listen, that's what I'm praying for. Well, the only way to do that is for us to take it all back. This is not going to go. Look, you have an oligarchy, and I call them statists. When they start doing what they've done for the past 130 years, and they've been plundering and stealing and redistributing wealth and having a centrally planned economic society with the stupid Fed printing money and the fractional banking and the dishonest monetary and the rest of the nonsense and all this welfare and garbage, this big bloated government, these are statists, Robert. They are insatiable. You could not give them enough money. There's never enough for this Leviathan. They will never, that beast will never be satiated. Do you know what I'm saying? They will always want more.
I get it. I mean, you know, there's, the people that I talk, believe me, Linda, last week was an experience for me. I did stand-up comedy for 10 minutes. I graduated comedy boot camp
here
in our local theater. And I it was so fun. And what happened was the Joe Gruters, the guy when I was running for Congress, he was there. He remembered me. And he saw me and he goes, "You're so funny." I said to him, I'm still in the race. You know, you realize that. He says, "Yeah, we know you're still in the race. We know you're still in the race. They know I'm talking on the radio show. They know everybody around there in Sarasota County knows I'm on the show."
Awesome. That's
great. But the thing is, they know I'm still on it. They know I'm the voice.
Good.
I'm still fine.
Well, good for you. I do it every day. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you live there, man. I really don't. My stepson's gonna be there next week in California playing football.
Oh wow. Go ahead, Bill.
There is such an urgency in what we do, and there's
I know.
There's so many people to wake up. As Rod said, there's people that don't even know who Biden is, never heard of Benghazi or anything else. And those
are
the kinds of people we got to be waking up and reaching out to. We got to be explaining things to them. And you better have facts and statistics when you
do
that.
Absolutely.
Don't just go out there and scream at them and all this and that and not know what the hell you're talking about.
I know. You can't do that. No, you have to be educated.
The thing is, if you look, right now, I don't know how many new laws just came into effect in the last month.
Oh, God.
We have crap happening that we're not even aware of happening. We don't know what these new laws are. We don't know what the new rules are.
Right.
The new
zoning
commissions and blah, blah, blah.
Right. There's
because they're rushing everything at us right now so fast.
Right. They've got 122. Go ahead.
They feel threatened.
There's 120.
They see the mask falling off and the people seeing the truth.
Right. There's 123 brand new medical codes because of this Leviathan Obamacare. And Rand Paul was kind of making fun of it, but it's not funny. I don't find any humor in it. I think it's disgusting. Well, and that's why, Bill, I talked about that gentleman doctor who's not doing it. He's taking his toys and going home. He's not going to play by their rules. And I applaud him huge.
They went and talked to Senator Rand Paul about that. And he was making a joke because the actual number is something like 700, Linda.
Okay. Check this out. I just found out that in California alone, in the last couple of days, they passed 300 or 400 brand new laws in California. We don't even know what's in them, what they are or anything, but I guess we're about to find out. It's disgusting. These people have run amok. And it's time for us to do exactly what they did under Prohibition and not comply with one damn bit of it. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
if they think they're going to take our guns away, we go shoot more.
When is there, how many laws are there?
Oh, my God. And look at the tax code.
Explain
look
to
at
me
the 70,
why the hell we, half of these laws we don't need. I can
you know
understand
what?
Some of these laws they have, but I also see some other laws that are nothing more than a way to steal money.
Well, it's not only stealing money, it's also stealing freedom, Bill, at the same time. And this
exactly,
is what happened
Linda.
In this is what happened in Rome. They had when they got the lawyers involved and they got these draconian regulations and the people kind of got too complacent, and then they, you know, they made the appearance that the Senate was still in, you know, in working order, and it wasn't. This is when it all fell apart. So we have to be so careful. And my dad used to say this, and I didn't understand it back then, but I understand it now. He said, when you have, and I'm sure he was quoting the founders at some point, when there's that many laws and you don't even know what they are and you're walking out your front door, whether you're going to break one in the next 2 seconds or not, something's wrong with this picture. And it's time for a bonfire, Bill. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
It's time for one big beach bonfire. I got plenty of coastline. Let's bring them down here.
You know, it's getting to that. But
oh yeah.
And here in the last two months, Linda, look at it. Last few months,
I know.
How much we've seen everything pick up and escalate.
I know.
Here we are. Here we are. The news is concentrating on what, three scandals. The AP scandal, the IRS scandal, and Benghazi. But
and they're not even talking
EPA
about...
You've got an EPA scandal. You've got another IRS scandal. You've
yes,
got,
and Fast
you know,
and Furious has not gone away. And the other one that no one ever talked... The one that no one talked about, which is probably another reason why Michelle's getting the hell out of there, because she was actually at that press conference, and that was like March 3rd or whatever it was. Or April, not, it wasn't too long ago when I put that out. It was on Facebook. I got it out to as many as I could, and that was extortion 17 with about the seals that were offed by this administration. And you know damn well that was set up.
Exactly.
And
so
that's
see,
one of the, that's the bigger that's bigger than
just,
all these put together.
We're just scratching the surface here. There are many things coming back at this right now, and it's just going to keep escalating.
But here's the thing, and then that one I talked about, Zero's database and Maxine Waters, and this goes back to 2000 and whatever, 2003 or something. Oh, actually 1990, when they were grooming that evil one for this position. I mean, all this stuff. Look, I mean, I think what's happening, Bill, is actually good for us because it's going to wake people up faster. They didn't see this. They didn't see that somebody was, you know, somebody on the left's going to do something. There's going to be some whistleblowers. I actually sent an email to ISA not too long ago, and I didn't mention it yesterday because I think I forgot. But I told him, I said, you freeze the IRS's assets, you freeze their pay salary all the way up and down the line, you put locks on their doors, and I says, you'll have so damn many whistleblowers, you won't have room for them in the rotunda. I sent it to him. I meant it. And I let him have it up one side and down the other.
You know what, Linda? There's one thing for sure here. You won't have a hard time getting the public to side with you against the IRS.
That's for sure. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I'm glad ICE is doing what he's doing. I don't know how effective he's going to be, but Trey Gowdy's in there fighting. Jeff Sessions is fighting. I know that Jason Chaffetz is out there fighting. There's a handful of decent people. You know, we've got our Ted Cruz's. Ted's looking real good. I do not want to see Rubio and Christie, the two giant rhinos, no pun intended, running.
That,
oh, man.
I so bad, Chad and me, we both so bad want our state representative to be our congressman or our senator. And Jim Lucas. If you ever get a chance on Facebook, look up Jim Lucas's page.
Okay.
And I think you'll like what you see. We like what we see.
Good.
Linda,
good.
Linda, you know my prediction. You know what my prediction will be? John Edwards is going to be the Attorney General. And
oh,
then
no.
For 2016, listen, Chris Christie and Charlie Crist for president on the Democratic side.
Gag.
They're
going to
be They're gonna switch parties. You wait and see.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter because they're all evil, just about all of them.
Yeah,
there was something else.
That's a possibility.
Oh, did you guys Did you guys see that that Anthony Weiner is running for mayor? New York.
Yeah, I'll be good. I'll be good.
I won't be surprised if he doesn't win it. I mean, it's New York.
And you know what? You know what, New York? If you vote for that stupid SOB, you deserve it. Oh man, that you know, that's all I got to say about them clowns. Oh my God, I think I got. Go ahead, keep talking, you guys. I just want to look for some really good music. I got 5 minutes left, so I'm going to go look for something to get us out of here. But I want to do the promo in a sec. Keep talking, you guys.
Okay. You know, Robert, it's amazing to me because the things I wrote about and talked about in 2006 or 2007 are now all around me. And I kind of feel good. You know, I kind of did see what was coming. And someone asked me, well, how did you know these things? I said, I actually read the damn bill.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah.
It was the first time for me to do that. And I got to reading them, and the first thing that came to my mind was, who tried to make this so no one could understand it? And then the second time was, I found nothing in any of it that didn't present loopholes somewhere. Always a loophole.
Yeah, it's
even
awful.
Even law is written that way.
Yep. Oh, I think it's all by design. It's intentional.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a law major. I'm a science major. But at one time, I did have a collection of bookshelves full of law books, and I was actually reading them. The laws change so fast, you can't keep up with stuff.
Yes, can't keep up. I know. And I want Robert to give us his parting thoughts, and then we'll continue.
Okay. My parting thoughts is to say no more. Say no to the IRS.
Say no to all of it. Yes, thanks, Robert.
Say no to the IRS. I can't wait till the IRS gets fried.
I sure hope so. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm just going to say this. They can spy on me and do whatever, but they're going to find out I really didn't give a crap, Linda, because I ain't hiding from nobody. This is still the United States. And it's still a free country. I ain't going to hide.
I'm going to stand out there,
and I'm just not going to hide.
I know. Well, if they force us underground, that's another story. But, you know, with the DHS.
I wish I had hid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's not go too far down the rabbit hole. But I'm just going to do this real quick, 41 seconds.
I see the big wake up coming, and I say let's just keep ringing the bells and keep shaking the trees.
You got it.
And,
yep.
Keep looking
forward. I agree. Shake the trees and aim low or something. aim just high.
Coming.
I know. I'm so excited about that. I'm going to play this real quick, and I'll be right back. If I can get it to work. There it is.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
Okay, guys, we got just a little bit left. I think it's about less than just under 2 minutes. What would you like to say, Bill?
Keep shouting. We are the alarm clock.
Yeah,
everyone
thank
have
you
a
guys.
Blessed, a blessed night,
blessed.
A blessed day. And tune in tomorrow for Terry.
Terry, absolutely. And thank you, Robert and Rod Luke and everybody. I'm going to play Poker Face and we're out of here. God bless. Have a great one. And I'm counting down the days to Delaney.
Delaney.
The reunion.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time that people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill, living in that life of luxury. Oh, we the people still.